The reading today is from the first book of Corinthians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is, one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of Christ coming from Matthew's gospel, chapter 4, beginning at the 12th verse. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From the time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking along beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew, and they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the gospel of Christ.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please sit. Father God, I just pray now that as I speak, that you, Lord, will glorify Jesus. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this place. And may your word come alive to us. Amen.
Amen.
This is an interesting passage. It feels like an introductory passage, a sort of transitional passage. But in fact, there's a lot in it. And I think the first thing that struck me is this sort of little insight into Jesus's type of preaching and his first sermon. And his first sermon appears to be, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Now, when I was, growing up, I was in a church, in a family that wasn't a church family, but my dear mother always used to say a few prayers just before we went to bed. And I don't know if any of you recognize this one, but the prayer that we used to say, I remember it so well now, it was, "Gentle Jesus, meek and mild, look upon this little child. God bless Daddy, God bless Mummy, God bless Tilly," that was my sister, I sometimes miss that bit out, "God bless Christopher, God bless everyone we love, and thank you for a lovely day." That was the Jesus I grew up with. And if you remember, when I was here last time, I managed to squeeze in a sermon at the end of the service, having arrived late. I said to you, you know, let's ask the Lord to come dwell with us, and let's ask God to be God. Let him be God, and may he be comfortable with us. Now, that's a funny thing to say, but so many of us impose our view of who God or Jesus should be like. And so I invited you to say, and say, look, just say to the Lord, Lord, I love you. Come be with me and be yourself. You know, put your feet up, be at home with me. And this, in some ways, is a carry-on from that. What I mean by that is I grew up, not as a Christian, not a churchgoer, thinking of gentle Jesus, meek and mild. And of course, he is those things. And yet, his first sermon nails his colors to the mast. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Now, it's very easy to see that as actually quite seemingly a harsh message. No, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. And I thought about that. I thought, you know, I understand that now. I'm a minister. I've studied it. I've lived it. I've, you know, asked God to forgive me and so on and so forth. But then I realized a little bit later on, there's at the end of this passage that we've just read, there's this sort of further explanation. It says in verse 23, Jesus went through Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. So whereas I think I got it wrong, I kind of think of the word repent as something harsh and difficult and, you know, hard work. But actually, perhaps the most important thing there is, for the kingdom of God has come near. And so when we get this second sort of explanation of Jesus' preaching, it's a little clearer. He says he went about proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. So it's because of this good news of the kingdom where, as it happens, every disease is healed, sickness among the people are healed. It's good news. And in the light of that, why wouldn't we want to repent? And I think that's a challenge to me, because I know that repentance is at the very heart of my faith, the heart of our service, the heart of our mission, but I tend to think of it as a difficult thing and an unpopular thing. But it's only seen as that if I forget that this is a gospel of good news. You know, the gospel of the riches of Christ, the fullness of Christ being given freely to us without charge. And when that happens, of course I want to repent. I want to get close to Jesus. So that was my opening thought there. Does that kind of resonate with you a little bit? You know, it's easy to think that repentance is something that we'd want to keep quiet about, but why wouldn't we want to repent in the light of all the grace and goodness of God? Now, this reading goes on, and it says, you know, Jesus went throughout the Galilee proclaiming the good news, healing the sick and what have you. And if we're going to follow Jesus, well, then the first thing we have to realize is that, again, it's not an unpopular and a difficult thing. It is challenging. It is difficult. What am I talking about? But it's not just that we are having to drop everything and follow him. It's about we are with him. You know, if one of my neighbor's kids came to me and said to me, I'm going down to the shops, or I want to go to the shops, will you take me? I would think twice about that, because for all sorts of obvious reasons, safeguarding and all the rest of it, and I'd go back and say, well, I don't know whether you can do that. You know, you'd hesitate with that. But if one of my own kids says, I want to go down to the shops, can we go down to the shops? Well, I'm more inclined to say yes. What I mean by that is, it's not just that we have to be inconvenienced by the gospel. It's not just that our lives are sort of turned head over heels. It's actually who we're doing it with. And when Jesus saw those fishermen, if he had just clicked his fingers at them, I mean, can you imagine what Peter would have said if somebody just on the shore just clicked his fingers and said, follow? Well, I mean, it would have been, he probably would have got short shrift. But he didn't say follow. Jesus says to each one of us, follow me. And again, it's like the same thing. It's not just repent, it's about, because I've got all this goodness in store for you. Follow is not just something that's going to mess with our lives and inconvenience us. It's whom we're following. Jesus says, follow me. He doesn't say follow the teachings of the church, although that's, I'm a minister, you know, it's a good thing. He doesn't say, you know, follow because God somewhere up there says so. He says, follow me. And that's the invitation to us, isn't it? This personal aspect of being a Christian, that we get to follow Jesus, to be with him. And that was really the absolutely compelling thing for all of those disciples. You know, they got to follow Jesus in a close and personal and intimate way. The crowds, they came in their thousands. But only they, the disciples, got to hang out with Jesus. They were there when the crowds had all gone home. They were there last thing at night as the embers of the fire burnt down and they'd been swapping stories of the day. And Jesus was there with them. And I want to live a life like that, don't you? Where I live my life with Jesus, knowing, savoring, rejoicing in the presence of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.